This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
As I read, we used to tease them. You're going to be Pope someday. You're too holy. What do you want to be? And, you know, joking, ribbing. And when he went into the seminary, it's like, oh, wow, okay. And then a couple of years ago when the Pope made him a cardinal, it's like, this could happen.
Yeah, that is Pope Leo's oldest brother there that they tracked down yesterday to interview him after his brother became the first American Pope. And, of course, they're really celebrating this up in the Chicago area, as you can imagine. And because, of course, he grew up there, went to university, I believe Villanova. Let's get to Caroline Elliott, who's a senior multimedia reporter for Fox News, and she's given us a few minutes this morning covering this story. Caroline, how are you?
Hi, Mark. Good morning, and good to be with you on a busy and exciting morning here in the Windy City.
Yeah, no kidding. I understand the White Sox have been putting up stuff on their outfield board celebrating the Pope, and it's just historic for America, right?
Yes, Mark, definitely. And we know right here in his hometown, that history is already being celebrated, started really celebrating that almost immediately. We know this morning the Archdiocese of Chicago is hosting a special mass this morning to honor the newly elected Pope Leo XIV. And we know, of course, Americans and Catholics around the world are really celebrating the first American elected Pope in history. We know that this mass started just a few minutes ago. And our team inside mass right now tells us there's about 50 people that showed up for mass this morning, where they're hoping to celebrate one of their very own, as you mentioned. And we do know, of course, the Pope's brothers are not in attendance this morning. That's because they're actually on their way to Rome to celebrate with their baby brother, Mark.
That's cool. That's very cool. I mean, Mark posted about this, that, you know, the fact that the Pope is from, well, the Midwest, which is even cooler, but that he had spent so much time in Peru. And so someone was kind of saying, oh, he's not really American, you know, because he spent some of the last 20 some odd years there. Are people saying the same thing in Chicago, or you do really feel this sense of pride from people who live there?
Yeah, Kim, we're definitely hearing a lot of pride and a lot of excitement. We actually spoke with some people outside of the Holy Name Cathedral yesterday who were just truly jumping with joy, just so overwhelmed with emotion after hearing, again, one of their very own is from right here in this city. We also know, of course, just talking with his brother, there's certainly this sense of pride, just overjoyed for his baby brother to then become the first American Pope elected.
Have you been able to talk to anybody who remembers him from his time in Chicago?
I have not yet personally. We're certainly still trying to talk with people. And we, of course, we know that he grew up on the south side of Chicago, apparently an altar boy here, altar boy to Pope, certainly not something that happens every day. So again, we're certainly still trying to figure out those connections and hear from anyone who grew up with him, but certainly just a stunning story.
Now, I'm Christian, not Catholic, but I think a lot of us are wondering what direction Pope Leo will take the Catholic Church, especially because of the work that Pope Francis had been doing. What reaction are you getting? Because I've already seen people digging through some old tweets that Robert Prevost had put out, and some of them were critical, for example, of the Trump administration.
Yeah, Kim, we do know the number of those tweets are circulating right now on social media. What we do know, though, of course, is Pope Leo has been reported to be closely aligned to Pope Francis's teachings on a number of things, particularly when it came to his positions regarding the environment, outreach to the poor and migrants, and opening the Catholic Church to embrace more followers. And yesterday, WFLD in Chicago, Fox 32, talked with his brother about this, and his brother did say that there could be some differences there, particularly when it comes to immigration. So we'll have to see how this plays out, but it looks like there could be some differences there.
Well, I know you got a lot to do up there. Caroline, thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. Anytime. Yeah, take care of yourself. Thank you. We always appreciate that. She's doing live reports for Fox from Chicago. So I was anxious to see if we could get a few minutes of her time. So here's the thing. Like Kim, I've seen those tweets.
Mm-hmm.
It's concerning to me, but only from an outsider perspective that I would have just always expected somebody in that position to have more biblical views on some of that stuff. And I'm not going to get into the biblical discussion with anyone here. I'm just saying he is anti-abortion. We know that. You would expect that out of a pope. But a lot of the positions Pope Francis took were considered to be more liberal than any predecessor of his on a lot of these issues, particularly LGBTQ activities within the church, not activities, but participation and those sorts of things. So I would expect when the honeymoon wears off, there will be some criticism as they kind of see which direction he goes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not Catholic. It doesn't really affect my life. I was thrilled this year during the election that more Catholics, a majority of Catholics, voted, in my opinion, for the candidate that was going to do what was more in their best interest than a Kamala Harris candidacy would have been.
But here's how it could affect your life. Because obviously, I've just said I'm not Catholic either. But yes, it was encouraging that many of these people, Catholics, did vote for Trump, the more conservative pick compared to Kamala Harris. But historically, we have seen a number of Catholics vote Democrat. So if we do have a pope who's leading the church in one particular direction and making some of these things seem okay, then that might encourage people who were on the fence to vote one particular way. So that really could have an impact locally on elections and when it comes to these national elections in 2028.
You got to wonder if there's going to be either a trip to the Vatican or a U.S. trip-based plan for this pope. He'll end up sitting down with Donald Trump.
Oh, for sure.
Trump is the person that would bring up those tweets to him. So, hopefully that happens behind closed doors, but it'd be interesting to be a fly on the wall for that conversation.
He can have changed his mind, by the way, and even if he hasn't, I don't expect him to agree with everything Trump does. I don't agree with everything Trump does, but just looking at the dates of some of these reposts he made on Twitter, 2018, 2017, I, among the former Trump haters, I couldn't stand the guy back then. So we have to remember that people can absolutely change their mind. He may have come around and
maybe we'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
I don't love the direction I feel like this is going, but I'm trying to hold off too much judgment because we just don't know. He's been pope for now less than 24 hours.
We don't know. And I'm interested when the first trip's going to be planned back to the U.S. I mean, that's going to be a celebration for American Catholics for sure. And if he's going to Chicago, will he come to St. Louis? I remember when Pope John Paul came here. I covered that because I was working at Channel 4. And that was a big deal, right? He went to the Edward Jones Dome. The joke back then, Jim Brooks was the coach of the Rams at the time. And the joke back then was, who are the only two men that can make everybody in the Edward Jones Dome stand up and say, Jesus Christ. It was the Pope and Jim Brooks, who was the coach of the Rams. So I remember, I have specific memories. I'd love to see him maybe come to St. Louis since he spent some time here, if he's going to come back on a U.S. tour. Maybe he will.
I mean, if he's in Chicago, you might as well swing by St. Louis.
Might as well. We'll see. We'll see what happens. All right. Coming up, we're going to get our Queen of Hearts drawing out of the way here, because we're the exclusive radio partner for Guns N' Hoses. We get to announce it every Friday at about 8:20. They send us the winner. We'll announce it here in just a few minutes. So get your tickets out. If you haven't, you can buy some tickets. This is a weekly drawing, and until a winner's picked, you have a chance to win half the pot. It's like a 50-50 drawing, and all of the money goes to Guns N' Hoses. And then at the end of the year, they donate that to Backstoppers. So you know it's a great cause. We'll get to all that more coming up. Stay tuned.
Guns N' Hoses Queen of Hearts, benefiting the St. Louis Backstoppers.
Yep, thrilled to be part of that. You can always go to stlgunsandhoses.com, and you can play this game every week. It's a Queen of Hearts raffle. You buy tickets. If they pull your card in your slot, you're going to win a cash prize. It could be 25, could be 50, could be 100 bucks. If they pull the Queen of Hearts, you get half of the jackpot. Now, right now, our jackpot is at $1,853. And we've already had one Queen of Hearts winner since we started all this. We're thrilled to be the exclusive partner of Guns N' Hoses for this event. And all the money goes to, eventually, Backstoppers. So every week this year, we're going to get to announce the winner right here on Friday morning. So get your tickets out. The winner this week is the Nine of Diamonds in slot number 44. So it's ticket number 297-815-495. They will reach out to the winner, and they'll win $25. Now, if they'd gotten if they'd pulled a face card, they would get $50. If you pull a joker, you get $100. And if you pull the Queen of Hearts, you're going to get half of the jackpot, and then the other half goes to Guns N' Hoses. So this is an ongoing fundraiser. Of course, Guns N' Hoses donated $1 million to Backstoppers last year. All that goes to support first responders. You know what they do at Backstoppers. We're proud to play whatever small role we can in that here at 97.1 FM Talk. Go buy your tickets today. That way you'll be in it. You can't win if you're not playing. You can get them for $5 a piece, or if you buy five of them, you'll get one free, and so on. If you buy $50 worth, you're going to get three free, and then your name is in the drawing. You can go to stlgunsandhoses.com, and you'll see a link to the raffle. So get on there and play now, and good luck to you. We'll announce our next winner next Friday, for sure. So I wanted to play something that I haven't had a chance to get to here yet, and that was pretty funny.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Of course, if you listened to Joe Biden yesterday, he was out talking about why he thought Kamala Harris didn't win. And it's because, of course, race and sex. You have to combine those two things, because it couldn't just be race, because Hillary Clinton didn't win either. So it's a combination of sexism and racism, which is why he didn't win. Go ahead and play cut number two for the people, please.
So why do you think the vice president lost, and were you surprised?
I wasn't surprised, not because I didn't think the vice president was the most qualified person to be president. She is. She's qualified to be president of the United States of America. But I was surprised. I wasn't surprised because They went the route of the sexist route, the whole route. I mean, this is a woman, she's this, she's that. I've never seen quite as successful and a consistent campaign undercutting the notion that a woman couldn't lead the country and a woman of mixed race.
Yeah. Just so you know, so from the past leader of the Party of Identity Politics, the only reason their candidate lost was because of her identity in politics. Am I reading that correctly?
Well, you need to have a backup excuse, right? Because they're saying it's because she's a woman, also because she's black, which is the same reasoning that Tashara Jones gave for why she was beat out, bad by Kara Spencer. And Cori Bush, I'm pretty sure, gave the same excuse. And it gets really old when this is their go-to line every single time.
Right.
I mean, how can Joe Biden say that she had a fantastic campaign when every time she would do an interview, which was rare because I felt like they were not wanting her to speak because they know that any time they'd ask her a series of questions that were hard hitting about, you know, how do you feel about your foreign policy and how would you handle this? She froze. She choked. And then you had CBS 60 Minutes that was quite literally altering what types of sound bites they were airing to make her look better.
I think I don't know what Joe's talking about. I thought she got the best media treatment she could have gotten. Generally speaking, you can't pay for.
You just fell out of a coconut tree. Some people understand what I'm talking about.
Why don't you make that your ringtone?
I should.
A series
should
of Kamala cackles.
The Kamala cackles. I watched a little bit of his interview on The View yesterday. It was disastrous. It clearly, maybe for the people on the far left, it gave them some satisfaction that he could still go on a network show and talk without a script. But Jill Biden was sitting right next to him and clearly had to swoop in and save him on a number of different occasions.
And what he does to get out of having to go in detail, probably because he can't remember the details, is he says, I shouldn't talk about that. Time is running short. I just better stop there.
I thought John Kennedy spelled it out perfectly yesterday. Listen to this.
The president looks very old. He looks as if his first pet could have been a dinosaur. Number two, I listened to him talk about his accomplishments, and I thought back. I spent 4 years serving with President Biden. As bad as it looked from the outside, you should have seen it from the inside.
Yeah, he's right. And then he goes on to list all of the things that went wrong that Biden is now surprised people aren't perceiving that way. Listen.
President Biden mismanaged Congress. He mismanaged COVID. He mismanaged the economy. He mismanaged inflation. He mismanaged the national debt. He mismanaged crime. He mismanaged the border. He mismanaged Afghanistan. He mismanaged the war with Hamas. He mismanaged the war in Ukraine. And he sacrificed America's energy independence. He was just exquisitely awful. I'm sorry.
As only John Kennedy can put it.
Exquisitely awful.
He was just exquisitely awful. Opportunity kept knocking, and they wouldn't answer the door. That's what he used to say about him all the time. That's absolutely the truth. And, of course, the latest from Mayor Tashara Jones, that sounded eerily similar. We'll get to all that and more for you coming up. Stay tuned.
Jeanine Pirro, with all due respect to her, she hasn't been a lawyer for quite some time, unless I'm mistaken. I mean, she was a prosecutor, an elected official, mm-hmm. Westchester County, et cetera.
Ran for Senate against Hillary Clinton,
right.
However briefly and however poorly that campaign went.
But that was so long ago.
It was almost 20 years ago.
Yeah.
She is, however, a more than 30-year friend of President Trump. Her ex-husband was one of Trump's lobbyists, corporate lobbyists, and her ex-husband was also Trump's final pardon issued at the very last hours of his last term. So I'm not surprised she would turn to him. He would turn to her, rather. She is, as you said, someone who at least does have some experience, but this will be interesting to see how it goes.
This is CNN. They should run that disclaimer at the end of everything these people say. Jake Tapper blowing right past Jeanine Pirro's accomplishments, where she's been a prosecutor in a courtroom. She had years of experience as a judge. None of that's good enough because of what they had to get to at the end, that she's a longtime friend of Donald Trump. Oh, and her husband was apparently, he got a pardon from Trump at the end of his last administration. I didn't even know that. But what's that got to do with the fact that he's appointed her now to be the U.S. attorney for D.C.? They're scared because they know she's pro-Trump, and she's she's been on Fox long enough that she has many times expressed her concerns over how people were persecuted around the J6 trials and how prisoners were mistreated around those trials. We treated them worse than dogs. We were less worried about American citizens who were accused of some wrongdoing on J6. They're more worried about some El Salvadorian who's in a prison in El Salvador.
He's a Maryland man, Mark.
He is a Maryland man. I keep forgetting that. But I mean, come on.
I think they believe that saying she's a friend of Trump and the ex-husband was a lobbyist and all these things somehow diminishes why she's qualified for that position.
Well, I'm sure. They're just trying to tear her down.
Right.
And she will have to go through some sort of a Senate confirmation. I'm sure some of the Democrats will go back and dig up something she said on Fox over the years to try to find some daylight there and prevent her from getting the 51 votes she would need to get voted on. But here's the important thing. So the person she's replacing is Ed Martin. Ed Martin is a longtime St. Louisan. He now happens to live in D.C., moved there with his wife a few years ago. But, of course, he served as Matt Blunt, Governor Blunt's chief of staff. He ran the Republican Party for a while. He was involved in the Tea Party here. He moved to D.C. I think he ran for office there unsuccessfully at least once. And he got appointed to be the U.S. attorney for D.C. And the left hates him, and some rhino Republicans hate him because of his opinion about how many of the people prosecuted for involvement in January 6th didn't really do anything to deserve 5 years in prison for walking in the building like a tourist. They didn't break any doors down. They didn't assault anybody. They really went overboard with that prosecution purely for political reasons. Everybody who looks at it with a fair mind can see that. Were there people that injured police officers or committed acts of violence who deserve to be punished? Absolutely. And I've said that all along. And I say that because I was there. I was the only member of the media from St. Louis who was there on January 6th. And I was never in the Capitol, in the building. I never went even anywhere up near the front where some of the problems were happening. I was way in the back of the crowd. But besides that, I knew why most of the people were there. They were there for a rally that didn't happen. And there were instigators that caused problems, and those were the people the prosecutors should have focused on. But they had to expand it to thousands of people who didn't really do anything wrong that day. Here's the thing. Ed Martin's he's defended those folks, and he's talked about rooting out people in that office who took part in these persecutions of U.S. citizens for nothing other than political purposes. My opinion, my show. That's why Ed got kicked out of this position, because Tom Tillis is a weak-kneed Republican who said he would support him for any other U.S. attorney job in the world, but not that one. Well, either he did something wrong or he didn't. So he could be a U.S. attorney in Boston. Why can't he be a U.S. attorney in D.C.? It's just completely unfair treatment. So I texted Ed this morning and said, listen, I'm sorry to hear what happened to you. At any point when you're ready to talk about it, I'd love to have you on the air to talk about it. And he texted me back and he said, thanks, but this. And then he posted the Truth Social post from President Trump that I missed somehow at 8 o'clock last night. Ed Martin has done an amazing job as interim U.S. attorney. He will now be moving to the Department of Justice as the new director of the Weaponization Working Group.
So does that entail?
So, well, the Democrats have gone from the fat into the fire here, because They've removed Ed from one spot. They managed to get him, the Democrats and the weak Republicans, have managed to keep him from being U.S. attorney. Now he's switching over to the Department of Justice, where he'll be associate deputy attorney general and pardon attorney. In these highly important roles, Ed will make sure we finally investigate the weaponization of our government under the Biden regime and provide much-needed justice for its victims. Congratulations, Ed.
That sounds like an important role, a much-needed role, and it also won't require Senate confirmation.
That's right. Exactly. That's so now Ed right can go over there and do his good work and root out. Because, you know, just like Kash Patel said yesterday in his hearing with the FBI, I'm looking for the problems in the FBI that allowed private U.S. citizens to be targeted. And I was a victim of that, so I know what it feels like. Kash Patel has been a victim of that, and now he's the head of the FBI. The establishment is quaking in its boots that these people who used to be the targets of their weaponization are now in charge of rooting it out, and they should be. And congratulations to Ed Martin, and I'm glad to see that they're still able to utilize his talents up there in D.C. Good on President Trump for that one. That's fantastic. All right, going to get to a quick break here. Got a guest in studio. Can't wait to introduce you to him. Chris Canale. He runs the Old Dominic Distillery down in Memphis. He's in town visiting, and his visit here is going to also bring some joy to you this summer, because you'll be able to enjoy something that he brought to town with him all summer long. We're going to get to all that for you right after the break. Stay tuned.
The Mark Cox Morning Show
on 97.1 FM Talk. Find everything Mark Cox at 971talk.com/Cox.
All right, welcome back. Just a quick reminder, you can always go online to 971talk.com /contests. You can sign up for Feed Our First Responders. Nominate your favorite first responder, police officer, firefighter, EMS, whoever it happens to be, dispatcher. Brag about what kind of job you think they do. We pick one winner a month. Grillmaster Tony makes food for them, and I deliver it. So we'll have another winner this month coming up. Get your nominations in. We're going to do that every month this year. GrillmasterTony.com is the great guy that donates this food once a month. So if you're looking for catering, please go and check him out. All right. Happy to have a guest in studio this morning who I'd like to think of as a friend these days, because we've met several times now when I got to travel to Memphis and tour the great Old Dominic Distillery location. If you're in Memphis for any reason, please make that part of your stop. Chris Canale, who runs the joint, is in studio with us. Welcome in, my friend.
Thank you very much for having me.
The founder, right, of Old Dominic. Is that what you call yourself?
That's right. At one point I was the president. I've kind of taken a little more of I guess you'd call it an oversight role, but they made me the treasurer. So today, okay. I'm the founder and the treasurer.
Founder and treasurer. It's such a great story too. My friends at Laura introduced me to Old Dominic a few years back, and this was something that great grandfather Dominic Canale started in the 1800s. Is that right?
That's right. It's a long story. I'll try to make it short. But yeah, we've been in Memphis for going on 160 years.
Wow.
Continuous. Deacon Alley & Company is our family company, and the D is Dominic. And he started Deacon Alley & Company in 1866. He came over from Italy in 1859, and we've done primarily food and beverage distribution. We've had a lot of connections with St. Louis. We sold Budweiser for 80 years.
Wow.
Just picked it up right after Prohibition. That's the business I grew up in, selling beer. And we're six generations in now. And Dominic, going into Prohibition, sold everything from avocados to zucchini squash. Mm. He said, A to Z. And he also sold beer, wine, spirits, going before Prohibition, and had developed his own brand of whiskey called Old Dominic, which Prohibition shut down. We didn't sell whiskey after that. At least we don't have any record of it. And we resurrected those brands in 2017, shortly after we sold the beer company.
Yeah.
So. How have you seen the industry change, would you say, over the last number of years?
Spirits?
Yeah, well, just in general, like with whiskey, I feel like there's this huge increase in the number of people who are interested. I mean, Mark, obviously.
In the business,
in the
yeah.
business, yeah. People love it.
Yeah, it's changed a lot, and we saw it in beer before that. When I grew up, I think we had, 80-something SKUs that we would have on a beer truck.
Yeah.
And by the time we sold it in 2010, there was like 180.
Wow.
And now they probably got 600. I don't
oh my
know.
Gosh.
It's just become, this huge proliferation of craft brands, and the same thing has happened in spirits.
Yeah.
But I think going forward, that's probably going to dial back just because the cost has gotten kind of, in my opinion, a little bit out of control. We're trying to do our best with our products to keep them at a reasonable price, high quality at a reasonable price.
Yeah.
But I think that whole craft movement is going to be, it's going to be a tough sell going forward.
Well, you've got your bonded Tennessee whiskey, which I've enjoyed. And I love part of the story of to be Tennessee whiskey, right? It wasn't always allowed to be produced everywhere. You finally got the ability to produce it in more than one county or two counties in Tennessee. And it has to be filtered through charcoal, right? But you guys do it differently than everybody else.
Our process, it's a very minimal. If you go to Jack Daniel, they go through, I think, like 10 feet
of charcoal.
Sugar maple charcoal.
Yeah.
Ours is pretty minimal. Our master distiller we had at the time that helped us get going, she was a Kentucky girl.
Yeah.
And so our Tennessee whiskey really is more of a traditional bourbon. It's a very minimal, it touches sugar maple charcoal, but it really doesn't impact the flavor that much. And you got to remember, it's going into a white oak barrel for years. It's been charred, and it's going to go in there for years. So if you think a little bit of charcoal going into the barrel really makes a difference,
Well,
but for Tennessee, it's got to be filtered through sugar maple charcoal, and it's got to be distilled, obviously, in the state of Tennessee. Otherwise, everything else about it is just bourbon.
Well, we're lucky to have it in the St. Louis area. They've got that. You've got a small batch bourbon out now, a cask strength bourbon. I got to sample some of this at Lit Cigar Lounge last night. It was great seeing you out there.
Yes, sir.
What else did you bring to town with you when you came up here from Memphis?
So we have an old draft trailer that we used to take to events like Memphis in May barbecue, and we would sell draft beer off of it. It's just got tap handles down the sides of it. We converted it to a cocktail trailer. So we do draft cocktails. And so it is out there now at Nymal Garden.
Yes.
Nice.
Which is a really cool place.
Yep.
And the weather like today, I mean, what a great day to be out there.
So you're going to have it parked out there. And whenever there are events out there, people will be able to enjoy some good old Dominic.
Absolutely.
That's fantastic. Well, yes, it's good stuff. It's exciting. They everything that you're bottling now is stuff that you barreled there and aged right there in Memphis, and it's homegrown stuff, right?
Yep, absolutely. Everything about it, and even to the extent that we know where our barrels come from
right.
West Tennessee, and that's kind of something that's extremely unique. Grain to bottle.
That's it's good stuff. Our friends at Lore, of course, help bring that to town. We appreciate them as well as great sponsors of this radio station and this show. So wherever you're going this weekend, try to find a bottle of this old Dominic. I know they had some out at Lit Cigar Lounge, but of course they carry it in all the grocery stores and everything now. It's just really good stuff. And if you get to Memphis, make it a point to come by and take a tour, right?
Yeah, please do. We'll welcome everybody with open arms. We have tours, tastings. We do events. We have a 55,000 square foot facility there. We have, I think, four bars now.
So yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Please come see us. That's what we're all about, hospitality.
It's excellent. Chris Canale, thank you so much for being here this morning, and enjoy your trip to St. Louis.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Old Dominic, love it down there. Go check him out and buy a bottle if you're out and about this weekend. All right. It's going to do it for us. Brian Kilmeade Show coming up here at the top of the hour. Annie Fry and Mark Reardon to round out your afternoon. Have a great weekend. Kim and Ethan and Sue and I will see you back here Monday morning at 5 a.m.